Well, welcome one and all to our Wednesday evening church service in this middle of the week of June the 4th, 2014. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to the recording. And let's get right into our church service for this evening. Our opening song is entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1892.htm. So I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story. Of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation. From God's own holy word, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my seeming glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Amen, dear ones. I ask you to please bow your heads and, if possible, kneel for opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, for thy tender love. We thank you for thy ruling and overruling providence in our lives. Thank you so very much for your divine protection and watchful care. And dear Father, we ask that thy presence will be in our midst. We give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. And please indeed bring the joyous atmosphere of heaven all around each one of us. We pray for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be with each listening heart. Please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Help us to see the uplifted Savior as never before, more clearly to our understanding, that by beholding him more, we might become better changed into his image. And thank you so much for doing so. And dear Savior, please dispel all darkness in our hearts and let the bright beams of your righteousness indeed warm us and invigorate us to live your life more than our own. Father, we thank you that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world, one day closer to the light of truth filling this dark world with thy glory, one day closer to this great controversy being ended and eternity to begin. And we thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but bringing us out of all the fallen churches, out of error and custom and tradition, into thy marvelous light. Please continue to refine us and purify us and sanctify us. Continue to increase our understanding of truth, that we might be constantly putting away error and wrong ideas and conceptions, to come more fully into the correct understanding of truth and its importance and its brilliancy. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And last time we finished our discussion on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, dealing with the Christian's defense. And we know where the various armor and the spiritual representations and understanding of that armor. And now we're going to be going into a different study article and topic that's entitled God's Love for Sinners. And this article is taken from the Review and Herald of January 19, 1911. So it was written over 100 years ago, but it still has very important truths to bring to our attention and our understanding. And this particular article can be found at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1402.htm. So God's love for sinners. The parable of the straying sheep should be treasured as a motto in every household. The divine shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out into the wilderness to seek the one that is lost. There are thickets, quagmires, and dangerous crevices in the rocks, and the shepherd knows that if the sheep is in any of these places, a friendly hand must help it out. So the parable of the straying sheep should be the motto for every household. And not just the household, but every church. every group of God's followers, this parable needs to be a motto, because it shows us that if it wasn't for active searching, that lost sheep would have died. But it was because the shepherd took the time to leave the 99 that were secure and go out risking his own life to seek the one that is lost. He understands that there's thickets and quagmires and crevices in the rocks, and that if the sheep happened to be in any of these dangerous places, it would need help getting out because it wouldn't be able to do it on its own. So here we see in the world, there's very dangerous places. There's various habits that can be formed that are not part of the Christian's life. For instance, taking up drinking or smoking, going to gambling halls, all of these various allurements for people to be attracted to out in the world can be likened to thickets and quagmires and crevices. It can also be likened to snares and pits and traps. All of these things the devil uses to allure Christians away from the Lord and to get them involved in such habits and such places that pretty soon it's impossible for them to leave on their own. The habit has become so strong they can't break it on their own. They need a helping hand. So whatever the devil can do to lead someone who knows the truth away from the truth, away from fellowshipping with those who know the truth, and to go out into the world, he's going to trap them in doing so. And they won't be able to get out on their own. They need a helping hand. And where does that helping hand come from? If that strange sheep is your son or daughter, or perhaps your parents, or perhaps some relative or loved one or friend, then that helping hand will come from God through you. But don't wait for them to come to you. The sheep is lost. He can't find his way back. You have to go out in search of them. That's why this parable of the straying sheep should be a motto in every household, in every church, in every gathering of God's people. We need to actively seek to save the lost because they can't find their way back without our help. So there are thickets and quagmires and dangerous crevices in the rocks that the sheep has wandered into. And the shepherd knows that if the sheep is in any of these places, they're going to need a friendly hand to help it out. Now, it's interesting, the word friendly is placed there. What if the shepherd, when he finally found a sheep, begins to scold it and punish it because it left the safety of the fold? Do you think that that sheep is going to want to come into the arms of the shepherd with the shepherd treating it in that harsh way? The answer is not at all. The sheep is scared. It doesn't know what to do. And adding reproofs and chastisement upon it is only going to make matters worse. So the shepherd comes as a friend of the sheep to help it out. And that's exactly how we need to seek to save those that are lost. A friendly hand to lift them out. Continuing. As he or the shepherds hears its bleating afar off, he encounters any and every difficulty that he may save his sheep that is lost. When he discovers the lost one, he does not greet it with reproaches. He is only glad that he has found it alive. With firm yet gentle hands, he parts the briars or takes it from the mire. Tenderly, he lifts it on his shoulders and bears it back to the fold. The pure, sinless Redeemer bears the sinful, the unclean. So what was our Savior willing to do in order to seek and save the lost? To bear the sins of all mankind. To bear the sinful fallen nature, the unclean nature of all mankind. That's what our Savior did for you and me, in order that we might be brought back to the fold. Should we do anything less, dear ones? There's souls out there crying, longing for a way of escape. They're trapped by sin, by wrong habits, by allurements that have a stranglehold upon them. They want to escape, but they don't know how. Are you going to be that friendly hand to help them come out of those things? I pray so, dear ones. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue? Okay, continuing. The shepherd carries the befouled sheep, yet so precious is his burden that he rejoices, singing, "I have found my sheep, which was lost." Let every one of you consider that your individual self has thus been borne upon Christ's shoulders. Let none entertain a masterly spirit, a self-righteous criticizing spirit, for not one sheep would ever have entered the fold if the shepherd had not undertaken the painful search in the desert. The fact that one sheep was lost was enough to awaken the sympathy of the shepherd and start him on his quest. So Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, has lovingly borne each one of us on his shoulders and brought us back to the fold, to the truth. He's done that for us when we were in sins, befouled by our life of sin. And yet he viewed us as precious. He willingly lifted us upon his shoulders and bore us back. So if Christ has done this for each one of us, then let none of us entertain a self-righteous criticizing spirit to others that we see are straying from the fold or from the truth. There wouldn't be a single sheep in the fold without the Savior being willing to dirty his hands to seek it and to bring it back. And he's done that for me, for you, for each listening soul here. So then we have nothing to boast about except that the Lord took the time to bring us home. And the Lord wants to use each one of us to seek and to save the lost and to bring them back as well. But we can't do that without dirty in our hands. We can't do that without sacrificing some of our time to actively go out and search. And when we find, to actively help them to come back, even if we have to bear them. The scriptures talk about bearing one another's burdens. What if you find someone that just cannot come to terms with some issue? Do you just leave them in the issue without trying to help them out of it? Part of bringing them back requires sacrifice. James talks about faith and works must be combined, because he says, what good is it if you see your brother is hungry and you go to him and say, be fed, be completely filled with food, be satisfied, never hungry again, but then you just go off without actively giving him some of your food to satisfy his hunger. Giving him some of your food required sacrifice. So faith and works combined together will bring back the lost sheep. And the fact that you found a sheep that was lost should be enough to awaken sympathy in your heart to bring them back, regardless of the cost. Dear ones, we need to be more aware of souls around us. We need to have our eyes fixed more outward from ourselves onto others. We need to consider their welfare. Not just financial welfare, spiritual welfare. We need to take an active part in communicating with them, in praying with them, in talking to them, encouraging them to continue in the warfare, in the battle. And if they've gone out into the world and are seemingly not interested in truth, then perhaps your active interest in their lives, not in a criticizing way, but in a friendly way, would be just enough encouragement for them to come back. And may God help us. May God help me and each one of us to do so, and to indeed be more active in seeking to save the lost. So the fact that one sheep was lost was enough to awaken the sympathy of our shepherd and to start him on his quest. Continuing. This speck of a world was the scene of the incarnation and suffering of the Son of God. Christ did not go to worlds unfallen, but he came to this world, all seared and marred with the curse. The outlook was not favorable, but most discouraging. Yet he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. So the fact that one sheep was lost was enough to awaken the sympathy of our shepherd and to start him on his quest to seek and to save the lost. So this one sheep can be likened to this world. And this world, in regards to all of the universe of God, is truly just a speck. It's less than a drop of water would be in an ocean. But yet this world, out of all the unfallen worlds that God has created throughout the universe with intelligent life, this one world out of them all chose to go astray. And the fact that this one world out of all of God's vast creation going astray was enough to awaken the sympathy of our Lord, of the Creator, and to start him on his quest to seek to save you and me. So the speck of a world was the scene of the incarnation and suffering of the Son of God. Christ left all the unfallen worlds and came to this fallen world that had become all seared and marred with the curse of sin. There were a lot of briars, a lot of thickets, a lot of quagmires and dangerous crevices. The outlook was not favorable but discouraging in coming to this world. But Christ fainted not. He was not discouraged. And after 4,000 years of sin, Christ came to this world. And he remained faithful to God and had indeed set judgment in the earth. Continuing, we must bear in mind the great joy manifested by the shepherd at the recovery of the lost. He calls upon his neighbors, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And all heaven echoes a note of joy. The Father himself joys over the rescued one with singing. What a holy ecstasy of joy is expressed in this parable. That joy, it is your privilege to share. So what kept Christ continuing on in his quest even though it was discouraging and dismal? What kept him moving forward? The joy of recovering the lost. He didn't faint or become discouraged because he had set before him the goal of recovering you and me and all the rest of humanity from sin. That was his goal. That should be our goal as well. If we're focused on the present, things are going to look very discouraging and dismal. But if we focus on the future, seeing souls saved for God, that's going to keep us moving forward. That's what kept Christ moving forward, even though all his disciples forsook him. He looked beyond the present to the future, to the joy that he would be part of in seeing souls saved. And once he found a sheep, he calls everyone around him, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found something that was lost, but yet it's here. It's been redeemed. It's been found." And everyone rejoices with him over that recovered one. That recovered one can be you, dear soul. And if you have been brought back to the Father through the efforts of the truth being brought to you through some dear, precious individual, then all heaven rejoices over you coming back. In fact, God the Father himself sings over you. He's so happy and overjoyed that he can't remain quiet, but he breaks out in melodious singing because you've come back home. You're no longer lost. So, dear ones, if you understand this, then I hope you can recognize why this parable of the strange sheep should be treasured as a motto in every household. If we have family members that have gone astray, we need to go looking for them. If we have church members or visitors that have gone astray, we need to go looking for them. And what keeps us moving forward? It's the joy that will be ours when we find them and bring them back. Can you imagine if you were able to see the Father himself singing because another son or daughter of his has come back home, has been found and brought back? Can you imagine what that would be like? If you can imagine just faintly what that would be like, then imagine that occurring over you when you chose to give your heart to God and to follow the truth. Because that's what happened in heaven over you. We've caused God so much sadness in our lifetimes, but now we have a chance to cause him so much joy if we will just go out and seek the lost and bring them back. We can make our Father shout for joy and try to redeem all the times that we've made him sad because of our choices, our wrong habits. Dear ones, this parable is full of joy when you understand it. It's full of importance if you comprehend it. Amen. Amen. There was two comments put in the room. One was quoting Galatians 6:2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Amen. Amen. Because we were talking about the shepherd actually picking up the strayed lamb and putting it on his shoulders and bearing it back. And that is how we can do the same for one another in bearing their burdens or in helping them. And the other comment was, this is like the prodigal son parable. And this is very true. And if you notice in Christ's parables, a lot of times he starts them out by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto." And if you understand that the parables that Christ was giving in some way was leading the people to understand the way or the pathway that they can make it into heaven. So it was dealing with the plan of salvation from all different kinds of angles. And so when you see the parable start out, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto," then you understand that Christ is bringing out the pathway that leads to heaven. So with the parable of the straying sheep, straying away from the fold didn't lead to heaven, but going out and searching the lost and bringing him back into the truth is the pathway to heaven. It not only helps the straying sheep to find salvation, but it helps those that are already connected with the Lord find salvation as well. Because if we don't manifest our faith in actions, we will be lost. Faith is made perfect through works. Thus, faith and works have to go together in order for us to be saved. So just in the fact that the sheep strayed from the fold allows each one of us in going out to seek for them to also remain on that path leading to heaven. The same with the prodigal son. He finally came to his mind and decided to return. And he didn't care how he was going to get back. He was going to make it. And when he got back, he had the words that he was going to say to his father. He had them all in his mind, and he started to speak them out. Father, you know, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be as one of your servants. And the reception that he received from his father was a joyous reception. The father ran to him, embraced him, put on new clothing because he was lost, but now had come back home. He had been found. The same principles, dear ones. So thank you for those comments. Amen, amen. And me too, dear sister. The comment was, I pray that the Lord will teach me to be forbearing and patient with other souls. And very true, very true. And again, in the prodigal son parable, the father didn't chastise his returning son with all kinds of reproaches and criticism and so on. Because he knew that his son had gone through all kinds of difficulties, but had finally woken up. And he was just so overjoyed that he had come back home, that he wasn't dead. He was still alive. And now he was within the protecting, loving shelter of his father. That was enough. It's the same type of principle with finding the sheep that was lost. You're so overjoyed that they're not dead, that their probation hasn't yet closed. There's still a chance to save them. And that rejoicing is contagious. That prodigal son was extremely happy to make it back home and to have such a joyous reception. That strange sheep was extremely relieved that the shepherd found him and brought him back to the safety of the fold. So the joy that was manifested by the father was received. And then the prodigal son became happy. The joy of the shepherd finding the sheep reciprocated upon the sheep. And now all the discouragements, all the worry and distress of that wayward journey was removed from the heart. And they were now caught up in the same joy as the shepherd. It's just beautiful to comprehend, dear ones. And I can see why we're counseled that this parable of the strange sheep should be the motto of every household and of this church. It's what should be part of the driving force within us. Within each member of this church, each family member of this church, that the joy that can be theirs if they will just go out and seek to save the lost. So they will bring joy to the Father, joy to all heaven, joy to themselves, and joy to the one brought back. And to be joyful and happy is so much better than to be selfish and forlorn and discouraged. That's why in God's presence is joy everlasting. There's no discouragement there. There's joy. And I pray that that same type of joy will fill our hearts and overflow out to everyone who comes to visit us in this home church, or everyone we go to visit in seeking to bring them the truth, bring them back to the Father. Because that type of holy joy is contagious and will bring a great change to hearts. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones, or anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free. Now, amen, dear sister. The comment was, God gives us joy. Amen. And it's in that joy that He gives us that we find our strength. And Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you don't have that joy, ask God for it. And then go to work to obtain it in seeking to save the lost. That's where you find joy. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 is a scripture song. The joy of the Lord is your strength. 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 Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Amen, dear sister. The comment was, I have learned so much about why God keeps putting all these ungodly people before me. Amen. Amen. He is encouraging you to put forth the effort to seek and to save the lost, to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring them back to the truth, back to the Lord, back to the Savior of their souls. Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes when you're meeting strangers, you only have just a little bit of time to say some word of encouragement to them or of hope to them, because you may never meet them again. But other times we know of individuals, whether they're family members or church family members or friends, that have gone astray. So if you know them, seek after them and don't be easily detoured or easily turned away, but persevere. And through much prayer and by God working upon their hearts, you just might be able to win them back. And then you can imagine with the eye of faith the joy that is taking place in heaven over that precious soul returning. And that joy will overflow to you. Now let us bow our heads and kneel as far as we're able to do so. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy loving kindness, for thy mercy and long suffering for each one of us. We thank you for not rewarding us according to our evil deeds, for none of us would still be here if you did. And we thank you for willingly forgiving us through thy precious Son, merits and righteousness. Thank you so very much for allowing us to be alive for such a time as this, for allowing us to know the truth and to be in connection with thee. And Father, thank you so much for singing over us with great joy that we have returned. Please fill our hearts with this joy, and especially give us the extra grace and strength and the wisdom to know how we can bring others back to thee as well, that we can keep you constantly singing, constantly joyful, because more and more precious sons and daughters of yours has come back home. And thank you for giving us this distinct privilege and honor to do so, for thy name's sake and glory. And Father, I pray that you'll be with all of the lost all around the world. Please continue to work upon their hearts to let them understand that there really is no lasting joy in the world, but the only true filling joy comes from serving thee and by following the truth. Thank you so very much for being with us. Thank you so very much for sending your Son to seek and to save us. And thank you so very much for allowing us to have part in thy great work in seeking to bring others home as well. Please be with us now as we part. Grant us an abundance of thy Spirit, that there may be a tremendous change in our lives as we go out to seek and to save others, so that there may be a tremendous change in their lives as well. Thank you for being with us this evening, and thank you so much for continuing to be with us as we part just for a short time. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Oh, that's okay, dear sister. It would be extremely hard for you to pray in the car as you're driving home. So I understand. And praise the Lord you're able to join with us on your way home. Well, dear ones, I pray that God will give you a very good night's sleep or a very good rest of the day. Continue to look up. Continue to unite faith and works together in your life, especially in taking the time to seek and to save some lost precious soul that you know about or that has come to your attention. And our prayers are with you in this great endeavor, and I know that God will go ahead and send his angels to prepare their hearts that the process will be much easier. So may God bless, dear ones, safety on the road, dear sister, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you all again soon. So may God bless.